بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين. السلام عليكم and welcome back to another episode of Saviors of Islam. Every night, 8:30 p.m., we look at the life and the lessons from the life of one of the icons that changed Islamic history, left a beautiful legacy behind. Tonight, we look at one of the most humble icons in Islamic history. Yemeni by origin, black slave, was sold into slavery, an orphan, lost his parents at a young age. His mother was a humble Nubian basket weaver, and his father was a dark-skinned man that wasn't the most richest of people. The individual that we're looking at became one of the icons in Islamic knowledge. You can't pick up a book of tafsir, Quranic commentary, a book of fiqh, jurisprudence, a book of hadith, Islamic traditions, going back to the actions and the sayings of Rasulullah ﷺ, without noticing this man's name, Ata ibn Abi Rabah. This individual, again, changed the fabric of Mecca, changed the society of Mecca, and became the Mufti of Mecca, despite being stuck into slavery for a long time. So what is his story? This individual, as I mentioned, was orphaned at a young age, and he had a difficult life growing up. And he was sold into slavery, and he spent a long time as a slave owned by a woman master. He was serving a woman from the people of Mecca. Eventually, she noticed that he was working really, really hard. And she noticed that he was dividing his time into three. So he would be finishing whatever assignments he had to finish, whatever tasks he had to finish them very quickly. And then he would spend only a third of the time getting that work done quickly. And then the second third of the time, he would spend praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing in prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third part of his day, he would spend seeking knowledge, ask her for permission. Would you please allow me to go listen in the masjid, attend the Jumu'ah prayer, attend the little halaqah that is happening? Of course, but did you finish your work? Yes, I did. So he would rush his work. Imagine as a slave, rush his work, finish it quickly to go and sit in the halaqah and come back and repeat everything that he understood or heard. And he would try to rehearse and he would try to stand up in prayer and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way. So the master that owns him, imagine as a slave, looks at the potential in this individual and decides to set him free. And because of all the hard work that he did as a slave, he had a limp. He had a limp. And he lost eyesight in one of his eyes, and some narrations say two. But did that stop him? And he began seeking knowledge at a later part in his life, not in his teens, not in his childhood, but later on in his life. But he spent 20 years going from place to place in Mecca, from scholar to scholar, learning from Ibn Umar, learning from other tabi'een and other companions of Rasulullah. He says, I witnessed 200 companions of Rasulullah, and I learned from as many of them as I could. And he spent time with during the Khilafah of Uthman. He was born during the Khilafah of Uthman. So he spent time with those that were born in that era before and during Uthman ibn Affan. Abdullah ibn Umar, when he went to Mecca, some people flocked towards him and said, we are here to ask you questions. How dare you ask me a question when Ata ibn Rabah is here? Go and ask Ata. He officially became the Mufti of Mecca. The Mufti of Mecca. And when Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik came, listen to this carefully, when Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik came with his two sons, the Khalifa, came to Mecca to do Hajj, he went straight to Ata ibn Abi Rabah and he asked him the questions that he had about Hajj. All the Khulafa that came to perform their Hajj or to perform their Umrah, when they did come to Mecca, they would honor him and they would go to him. And one of his most beautiful, you know, beautiful things that stand out about Ata ibn Abi Rabah is the fact that he transformed the fabric of Mecca. He transformed the society. How did he do that? Three things that we want to remember. Number one, he taught people the importance of time and time management. Time management. He taught them the importance of being concise and careful and critical of what they say. And he taught them the importance of humility and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he spread the knowledge to as many people as possible. So Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, his sons saw how humble he was in the way that he treated Ata and said, why are you treating this man with so much, you know, respect and humility? We don't see you that way with others. He says, you don't know the worth and the value of this man and the knowledge that this man has and the number of companions that have honored this man. Subhanallah. Imagine when Imam Abu Hanifa made his way to do Hajj. And this was early on in his development. You know, we know Imam Abu Hanifa was a businessman, as we mentioned. And then he started to pick up the Islamic sciences at the 20 years. So after 20 years of his life. So he went and he did Hajj in Mecca. And when he's doing Hajj, after he finishes Hajj, he goes to one of the barbers to get his hair cut. And the first question he asks is, I want to make sure that I'm able to afford this. What's the cost? What's the cost? So the barber says, there is no dispute when it comes to this. Don't ask. You pay whatever you can. Then he sat. The barber told him, sit towards the Qibla. So he faced the Qibla. Then he gave him his left side. Abu Hanifa gave the left side. No, give me your right side. Then he stayed silent. Abu Hanifa stayed silent. He says, no, you should be doing takbir during this time. And then finally, when he finished, he started to walk away and he started to, you know, get on with his, you know, journey away from the Kaaba. He says, no, you have to pray your two rak'ahs. So Abu Hanifa looked at him and says, you're a barber, but you know so much about the deen, so much about the rituals, all these five little details of Hajj and the sequence and what you should be doing. Where did you learn all of that from? He says, the barber says, Ata ibn Abi Rabah has taught us the details of our deen. He made time to teach every individual he could in the community, made himself accessible. He raised the standard of education in the community so that the barber knew the basics and the advanced and the details of the deen. The engineer knew what needs to be understood in order to perform his function or her function. The medical expert knew what they had to do related to that field. So one of the blessings and the legacies of Ata is he made sure that he equipped the people in his society with knowledge that was relevant to their areas. So he raised the standard of knowledge in the community. Allahu Akbar. He was known, as I mentioned, for being very, very careful with his time. So he would remind people to be concise in a beautiful and respectful way. He would remind people to be careful of the time and not to waste it. For example, he once saw a bunch of young people having conversations and, you know, often it ends up being about something that's not important or something that's trivial or something that is not beneficial. So he reminded them, he told them, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, Inna alaykum lahafidheen, kiramin katibin. And he reminded them, عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدِ. You have angels recording on your right, witnessing on your left. You have angels that are protecting you, but also writing everything you do down. Are you happy with these words being read in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm not saying don't have time. Have time, have fun, enjoy your life, but be cautious and critical, not to say that which is untrue, not to exaggerate that which is being mentioned, to be cautious, not to backbite, not to waste your time, and to have purpose and function. And it would remind young people in the most beautiful of ways. Get up, have ambition, have ambition. Don't waste your time. But at the same time, when he dealt with people, he would have that kindness and respect in giving everybody the right that they deserve. So for example, he was often known for sitting down and listening to people say the hadith of Rasulullah or students sharing some of the reflections, even though he's heard it before, even though he's memorized it, even though he's an expert, he would listen to their complete reflection without interrupting because he considered that to be beneficial. So there's a big difference between being, you know, kind with your time and being rude with other people, being firm with your time, managing your time well, but letting that lead you to becoming rude with people. We had an open heart, open mind. As long as we're doing something beneficial, you have my presence. I'll be fully present. But let's not waste time. So he was known that he would only spend his time Quran, hadith, teaching knowledge, learning, removing harm, benefiting, commanding the good, or enjoying time in a constructive and beautiful ways. Other than that, he would get up and he would say, may Allah reward you, but I have to go. I have, you know, forgive me, but I have other commitments that I've made. 70 years he spent. And every year he performed Hajj. And he was known to stand in prayer for a long time and recite 200 ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, even though he became an old man. You know, he passed away 88 years of age. And even though till the end of his life, he continued to stand in prayer and stand for a long time. And the Khulafa, when they would come, to, you know, meet him, they would have to sometimes wait for a while before he finishes his salah. And he would say, I cannot give anybody the right if I don't give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his right. How am I fair and genuine and honest if I don't give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his right? Allahu Akbar. Once he rode, another thing that he was known for, Ata ibn Abi Rabah, he rode all the way to Damascus, to Dimashq, to give advice to Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, the Khalif at the time. So imagine, he didn't take anybody with him, didn't take an entourage or bodyguards. He took his donkey, his ride. He took his cloth, what he was wearing, enough food for the ride or enough food for the journey, and went. And when he got to Damascus, he asked around, where is Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik? How can I book an appointment with him? Eventually, he made it into Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik's. And of course, not everybody could do that, but because he's the faqih of Mecca, the mufti of Mecca, the person who's responsible for the religious opinions of Mecca, they opened the doors for him. And he walked in and he said, Ya Hisham. Look at the humility, humbling Hisham. Ya Hisham, know that you will meet Allah alone. And you will be asked alone. And you will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and answer alone. And you will die alone and you will be in the grave alone. So don't let the excitement and the people's respect and the eyes of the people towards you convince you that you're other than what you really genuinely are. Be honest with yourself. These are powerful words to say to a Khalifa. And he says, I've come to advocate on the people of Mecca. Treat them kindly and fairly. I've come to advocate on this on behalf of the slaves. Be fair to them. I've come to advocate on behalf of the Ahli Dhimma, the minorities that are not even Muslim in Mecca, the Jews and the Christians. Treat them fairly. Don't expect more than what they can bear. Be fair and be just. And every single time he gave him advice, Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik would say, I accept, I accept, I accept, I accept. I will, I will, I will. And he wrote changes that, yes, we will change the policy, X, Y, Z, as you've requested. And not many people could do that. Not many people could have that level of impact on Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik. But Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik humbled himself to Ata because of the way that he carried himself. And because of the eloquence of his words and because of the kindness and the demeanor and the justice and the fairness and the transparency. Finally, as he started to, I appreciate your time. I've achieved what I've come for and now I'm going to go back to Mecca. Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, so you've advocated on everybody. Everybody on behalf of everybody else, but what about you? What can I do for you? He recited the ayah, La as'alukum wa ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr in ajri illa ala rabbil alameen. I've come not to ask you for anything in return, not to ask you for compensation. My compensation is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayah from the Quran. In another, you know, version of the story, he says, I am not the type to ask any human being for anything. Allahu Akbar. Remember, my brothers and my sisters. هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. Can the one who knows, can that person be equal to the one who doesn't? Allah will raise those who are believers and those who know, أهل العلم, أوتوا العلم, the ones who seek knowledge, Allah will raise them. So if we're going to take some lessons from the beautiful life of Ata ibn Abi Rabah, focus on knowledge. Be careful with your time. Manage your time well. Don't waste it. Have purpose, have goal, have desire. And be accessible to people and don't be stingy when it comes to giving advice. Give advice, but lead by example. Finally, Al-Awza'i mentions to us, مَاتَ عَطَاءِ ابْنِ أَبِي رَبَاحِ يَوْمَ مَاتَ وَهُوَ أَرْضَى أَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ عِنْدَ النَّاسِ. When Ata ibn Abi Rabah passed away, he was the most beloved to the people at that time. People loved him. People loved him. Despite, again, being born or being limited by slavery, despite having to serve, he made the time to learn. His energy and readiness to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his sincerity eventually was noticed by the master who set him free, and he spent the years of his life serving the people around him, advocating on behalf of minorities, advocating in the name of justice, standing up and making his way all the way by himself to the Khalifa and advising and advocating and leaving a beautiful legacy behind in knowledge and in the Islamic sciences. My brothers and my sisters, do not let your limitations, whatever they are, continue to limit you. do the best that you can. Some of us are born into, you know, maybe slavery is no longer as rampant as it was, but there are minor forms of slavery and discrimination and injustice. It still exists. But this man, this, you know, being black, right? And of course, this is again for the Arabs who dealt with, in the Jahiliyyah, there was a lot of racism. For the Mufti of Mecca, who served for many years, you know, passing away 88 years of age, to be black, to be of color, and to be respected, that is in itself a testament to the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from those who are fair, from those who are just, from those who learn, seek knowledge, benefit others with the knowledge, be from those who are careful with how they spend their time, and from those who leave a beautiful legacy behind. My final remark, do not waste your time. Every minute counts. You are just a bunch of days, and every minute that passes is a part of your life that's gone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and see you every night, inshallah, at 8:30 p.m.